I'm going to miss the next 4.5 hours. Sounds like you guys are going to have a pretty good time tonight.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
Welcome to Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you live, spaghetti and meatballs behind a glass. Also, producer, babyface Joel Solomon, and my dear, dear pal, maybe my best pal in the world after last night. He did not kick me out of our fantasy draft. Woo! Dave Damashek, how you doing? I'm feeling good.
I imagine you are, although you say best pal, but not for about, I would guess, maybe 5 seconds or thereabouts, 4 seconds when you saw it. I tricked you, but good, I feel like. Yes, we went cameo a year ago, people may or may not recall. We kicked out Bill Simmons.
Well, let's set it up. So in our dumb league, if you win the league, you get to kick somebody out. You win the league, in December, and you wait all through the summer and whatever, and people do their research. And then the night of the draft, right before the draft, you kick somebody out, which, by the way, I was thinking last night, the only thing better would be if you kicked them out after the draft. 4.5 hours. But anyway.
Now that's something. That's called punch up there. I like that. And you're not allowed to tip your hand. It's Survivor style. And it bears repeating that about half the league hates this, that you have to kick somebody out.
The best.
And Sal invented this. This has been going, a dozen years at least?
I think so.
Probably we've been kicking people out.
Well, think about it. So because everybody, 10 teams, 11 teams, everybody but two has been kicked out. And there have been several teams that have been kicked out multiple times. Our friend Brad is just way too mouthy. And he got the boot a couple times. And Tall John and Jamie got kicked out. And everyone's been kicked out except Hench and your podcast partner on -3. And the Bar Owls, who are friends, Craig Powell and Brian Barton. Okay, take it away.
Yeah, and a year ago, because of COVID, we couldn't gather in one physical space, so we did it on Zoom, and we got Fred Lynn, former center fielder of Bill Simmons' beloved Boston Red Sox, to on Cameo to kick Simmons out of the league, and it was amusing, and so I decreed, why fix what ain't broke? Let's do it again this way. Simmons can't be kicked out by the letter of the law because he's returning to the league. You can't kick out the same person 2 years in a row.
Yep.
Simmons, of course, made when the billionaires can't get into the NFL, they go off and they form their own league. Mm-hmm. This is what Bill Simmons did. Okay, I get where he's coming from.
He's an entrepreneur.
He had a wounded ego. He had a wounded ego. Like, he went off and invented the New Jersey Generals or whatever the hell he did. I don't know what his league is about. That's fine. I get where he's coming from. You know, he's got a big head and he needs to be satiated. He also does a podcast once a week in football season with one Cousin Sal. So it makes sense that, I guess, professionally speaking, Sal and Simmons need to have something to talk about. So it would have been wrong to kick Sal out beyond the fact that Sal and I are currently kibitzing right now. Kevin Hench joined that league. And that's the one that really didn't make any sense to me. Why did Kevin Hench join the Rogue League? Why did he go join the XFL? He's already in the NFL. Everybody,
I don't know, but we have miles to go with this breakdown. Let's go to what you did with the cameo. It was great.
Well, it started off with because Sal was legitimately worried. I think, correct? You actually thought there would be, because it would be funny to kick you out. Right. We had one pal last year in chemo, and I said that would be a pretty funny way to kick him out of the league in the middle of that. So I considered kicking Sal out, and Keith Hernandez showed up on the cameo for about 3.5 seconds, and Sal.
Yes, this is part of Dave's presentation. Here's who's getting kicked out. Keith Hernandez jumps up first.
Oh no! Oh no! Sal starts to say, "Oh no!" And then there were a couple other fakes. There was Steve Garvey for our pal Tall John, and then there was Jim Zorn for our pal Tall John, and then finally Hollywood's John Hamm made the scene. And,
who normally is a partner, and I mean he is a partner of Trevor, and it's the most handsome duo in fantasy football, but he couldn't make the draft, so you got him to do a recorded message where he was going to break the news.
Not cameo, it was hameo, and he flipped a coin between Hench and the Bar Owls, and Hench, as the elder in that equation, got to choose. And even though I've told him, you take heads in a heads and tails competition always, he went tails, and now he's out of the league.
That's it. Hench and the Bar Owls were the only two that had not been kicked out. And Hench, the fate was in his hands or in his mouth, and he called tails. And tails, it turns out, never fails. We now have an instance where it's failed. And he was out. And he took a deep breath, and he was pissed. You know what? I think he's not used to not getting his way. Is part of it. But the other thing is, it sucks. That first few minutes, that first hour, maybe even today, if you reach out to him, he's going to be bummed at you. He's going to be bummed. And I very much look forward to that podcast if it happens tomorrow. You and Hench, I'd like to jump on if I could. But oh,
I'd like
my God.
That. Yeah. Could you play mediator for us? That would be nice.
Yeah, I think so. I may have to play co-host. I could see him not showing up. But, you know, as soon as he had the choice, heads or tails, I would have given you 4-1 odds that Hench was getting kicked out. Even though it's a 50-50 proposition, I'm like, oh, he's going to screw this up. This is what's funny. I have no idea what Ham is going to call here. Ham called the heads, and Hench is out.
And for the record, it was not rigged, even though I did counsel him just about 6-8 weeks ago that you always go heads when it's a heads-tails proposition. Mm-hmm. He went tails and he lost, but it was not rigged on any level. It was on the up and up.
How could it be rigged? Well, I guess it could be rigged. Maybe you had two.
I could have multiple videos. But Ham, you saw the coin. It was not a fake coin or anything like that.
You know what the best part is? I didn't want to do this over Zoom. I had like a restaurant, APL. I had the back rented out and everything. I was like, we'll do it this way. And some of us haven't seen the others in 2 years. And then there were like some people skittish, like, oh, is there ventilation? I'm like, oh, shit. It's like, all right, well, they'll leave the door open. I'm like, well, it's still weird to go. And it's like, all right, we're going to do this over Zoom. And then Hench hits me up. He's like, I could give my backyard to this. And I was like, forget it. Let's just do it over Zoom. I'm annoyed with everyone at this point. Can you imagine if he offered his backyard and we have these dozen idiots, one who kicked him out of his own league? Like, all right, buddy. Yeah, go inside. We'll see you later. You have a Fresca you could bring me right now? But
yeah, you're not busy. You can go get us some food, can't you?
Yeah, help us out. 4.5 hours, Shaq.
Jesus, was that a misery?
I had one the night before that was 3.5 hours, but 4.5, no thanks to CBS Sportsline. I'm going to throw them under the bus because they kept us waiting. I renewed the league for $179, and that was just as much time as they'd give me on the site, because then as soon as my credit card went through, the site went down for a full hour and then was choppy for the next 5 hours, for whatever it was. And people are like, I put this up on Twitter, and people are like, you're an old man. Why are you doing CBS? I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. Is Yahoo any hipper than anything else?
Where are we
supposed to go? I know. Yeah. Get off CBS, old man. Like, all right, I don't love paying for it. I do look kind of like the history. If like I can look back and see that Sheck is like, 16-9 against me and or whatever over the last 12, 15 years, whatever, how long they keep it. I like that part of it, but I'm all ears. We'll put it on another platform, but for that. Bad job by you, CBS. Yes, take that, Tony Romo.
The extra CBS points sucks. Platform, Sal, after all.
You're right.
Makes all the sense in the world. But, that was a rugged go of things. But we're all set now, Sal. We're as my little boy says, we're one sleep away. One sleep away from football.
I know. I might sleep through that first game. Real quick, I know I don't want to spend too much more time on fantasy, but my thing for an auction has always been get 4 or 5 very good players. And that's
an auction is way better than a draft. Yeah. If you've never done an auction, you need to try it. You'll never go back.
It's so much better, except for the 4.5 hours that we'll never get back. But yes, if you have a site that works properly, you could do it, knock it out in 2.5 hours. and that'll be that. But here's what I did. I got five good players. I got Russ Wilson, not in this order. Henry and Chubb were two of like the first five to bid on. I got them for $54 and $55. I got Russell Wilson. I got Devontae Adams, and I got Mike Evans. And then I have absolute shit. And when I say absolute shit, I have like third string everything across the board, because I had $1 players the rest of the way to fill like 16 slots or something crazy. But I would recommend, I don't know how many people have drafts tonight, but I think that's the way to go. Get four or five good players. Just try to save a
little
money.
I think you finally figured it out. I don't know if the NFL is a star league, but fantasy is, and people overthink it with that kind of stuff. But I like the way the Cool Cats set up once again, looking for four out of the last five championships. Dak and Matt Ryan, I have a choice between the two at QB. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris. I mean, that's a nice team there. What do you mean pretty? Why do you say
it's pretty good?
Why'd you raise your voice at me like that? Oh,
well,
good.
You like your backs better than mine? Henry and Chubb.
I've told you for 6 months I don't like Derrick Henry at this point. He's had way too much work the last couple of years.
All right. I also got like Stephon Diggs. That's way too little work in the NFL to go crazy.
I think Jonathan Taylor has a big year. You know, Diggs, Amari Cooper, and DJ Moore. That's a nice trio of pass catchers for the Cool Cats.
You mentioned you and I had it's a crazy mind game. Like, you and I had two players for like an hour and a half. We had only two players on our roster for the first hour and a half. I had Henry Chubb, and then I just didn't have, first of all, no one nominated a receiver until like 45 minutes into the draft. It was very strange. But the most controversial moment came, and then I promise we'll get off fantasy. Saquon Barkley is nominated, and it goes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then someone bids 30, and then someone bid, thinking they were bidding 7, hit the next bit, right? Like, make an offer. And so then it's just a dollar more than 30. So now he has $31 on Barkley. And he's like, whoa, 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 I didn't want to do that. It's like, well, you got to be a little bit of deft touch there with the thumbs there, Mook. And we wouldn't give it back to him. And he'd like complain, like really upset with us for the next 2 hours. And like you said, like he beat cancer. And thank God. But he's like, this is worse than cancer, being stuck with Saquon for $31. I don't think that a lot of people would agree with that. But I don't know. I think we did the right thing. First of all, it was almost a 5-hour draft. I can't keep backing out players every 4 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, this is how we spend our time on the Big Blue Marble. This is what we do with ourselves.
It was a real
arguing with each other. Yeah. Saquon Bradley he was so flustered by having gotten stuck with Barkley that he called him Saquon Bradley. I don't know what we're doing with ourselves. So it's a weird way to live.
Well, real quick, I think I know the answer to this. Tougher to go undefeated in the NFL or undefeated in fantasy?
I'm going to go with real football, Sal.
Well, I guess the fact that, 17 games, you're going for real football. Why do you say that, Chad?
Well, I guess I was being smart alecky, but I guess there are a lot more fantasy football teams than there are actual pro football teams. So in terms of just raw number, there must be several thousand undefeated fantasy seasons, and there remains only the one undefeated
pro football. I'm trying to think, are there more pushovers in the NFL than there are in fantasy? Probably about the same. I don't know. Or I guess the other way is to look at it. I don't know. Okay. Well, I'm trying to segue into this great FanDuel deal. By the way, FanDuel.com/extra points services all your sports gambling needs. But they have these great season specials. Go under the season specials tab, and you will find a thing. It says, look at this. The last undefeated team of 2021-2022. You could bet this. Who will be the last team to lose? Will it be the Buccaneers at 7-1 odds, the 49ers plus 750, the Chiefs plus 750, Bills plus 850, Ravens plus 850, Rams 1,100, and so on and so forth. Sheck, do you have a pick for this? This is not easy. You look at the schedule, and by the way, if you looked at the Steelers' schedule, the Steelers won this bet last year, right? They were 11-0. Right. But I bet if you looked at their schedule, you would have thought they'd have three losses, right? I mean, best case scenario, very good case scenario that they had been 8-3 after 11. It's very hard to pick who will go undefeated for the longest time.
You know what? And this will sound like black and gold, bright-eyed optimism, but if they could somehow survive the game in Buffalo on Sunday, they would kind of set up as an interesting play in this one. There's not the small matter, though, the visit up to Western New York. I'll tell you who's not going to do it, though. The Kansas City Chiefs, who are pretty much the world's pick to do wondrous things. Once again, we had Jeff Schwartz on -3. We talked a lot of college football, but some NFL stuff too. And he weighed in on the Chiefs, and he thinks, spoiler alert, that the Chiefs and Bucks are the cream of the crop once again. A little boring and uninspired, frankly. It's exactly right. It's not fun. But I'll tell you, the Kansas City Chiefs are not doing it this year because they're not going to have some long season opening rip of wins here because they go Cleveland, at Baltimore, then the Chargers pay him a visit, and the Chargers are going to win that division. Then they have Philly. They play the Bills, Washington, if nothing else, and then they got Tennessee. And that brings me to, Sal, the team that I think really has a shot to do it, the Tennessee Titans. I don't think this is one of those years where you have an 11-0 type of team. Those happen every couple few years. But if the Titans, you know, they start the season with the Cardinals at home, that's manageable. Then they have to go across the country up to Seattle. That's a tough spot. But then Colts at home, at Jets, at Jags, they catch the Bills at home and then the Chiefs at home. So I could see them being
rough.
Well, I could see them being 6-0 when the Chiefs come to town. I think that's not outrageous, and I think it's a good bet, and you get great odds on it. +3,100. If you take the Titans.
You're thinking this is a year where the best team to go undefeated. I don't even know how to say this. The team that goes undefeated the
most likely to go without a loss.
Is seven weeks, you're saying, right? So seven's the number. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They'll be favorites in five of those. Those last two are tough. Yeah, it's not as easy as saying, this team's going to have the best record, so they're going to stay undefeated the longest. That said, I'm going Packers here. I think they take care of business in New Orleans, which is now Jacksonville. They beat Detroit. That's a close Sunday night game at San Francisco, but they win that. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Chicago, Washington. I think, like you, I think it's a 7-0 team and before there's a loss, and that's the Green Bay Packers. And you get
it's a great call.
11-1.
It's a great call, and I completely forgot about the Saints in Jacksonville factor too. So it doesn't, obviously that's a really tough spot in the Superdome, but the Packers don't have to worry about that.
Right.
So yeah, that's a great call.
All right.
I'll stick
now,
with the
Titans. They also have last team to win. And again, this is like, the teams have the worst record. You could go back and forth between the Texans and the Lions. Those are the two favorites have the worst record, but that's not necessarily the last team to win. The Texans have a coin flip game. When I say coin flip, they're a 3-point underdog to the Jaguars. So you might, I don't know, it might not be the best odds to take them. In fact, the Lions are +175, the Texans 5-1, the Eagles 12-1, Raiders 12, Jets 12, Panthers 13, and then the Jaguars who play the Texans are 14-1. That's the last team to win. Sheck, do you see this the same way? Are we, you know, we typically have a team that's 0-10, 0-11, but if you look through the schedule, you're always like, Lions will win that one week 6 or something. But who are you taking here?
I'm sorry to be lame, but I got to take the Texans. Although these flirtations with maybe Deshaun will play, we'll see how it goes week to week. Now that's what Cully's saying is they purge every relevant other player on the roster. By the way, what is going on with the Houston Texans? What are they doing exactly? Deshaun Watson may or may not have to leave the Texans. He may or may not have to leave the NFL forever, depending on how things break. But why are the Texans in complete sell-off mode? Are the players demanding it or the individual guys saying, please do me a solid and get me out of here? They're going to have to play not just this season, but I don't think they're going to dissolve the team one way or the other. So what's the upside of just getting rid of everybody? I don't get what they're doing here.
You know, it seems like just like picking on the weakling here, but maybe we just bet everything anti-Texans. Maybe you're right. Maybe they're just not ready for – I mean, this colleague, I feel terrible for him, but he's 60. He's never been hired as a coordinator. Like this, I was like looking into this, and then like you said, it's a fire sale, and I think it's a combination of guys wanting to get the hell out of there and this team trying to – open up like draft picks, which they have none, you know, the last couple of years. So
Texans, I guess, I mean, yeah.
One. Yeah, but
so that's I hate to do it. That's the one because I'm telling you, man, we're looking at an over this season.
Right.
If they don't win in week one against Trevor Lawrence, that's their best game on the schedule. Their best shot at winning.
So that's
a game.
The only reason they're behind the Lions, because they have easier run the first week. But I'm going to make someone behind the glass upset here. Eddie Spaghetti. I'm going to make a case for the Giants.
Oh, no. Again. Careful, Sal. He's going to get mad at you.
Don't get mad, Spaghetti. But if they lose that first game, again, it's a coin flip. It's a field goal game versus Denver. At Washington, I have a lot of high hopes for Atlanta. At New Orleans, at Dallas, L.A., all right, Carolina, they're going to be favored-ish, I guess. And then at Kansas City, I think, again, that's the magic number. They could be 0-8. I think for those odds, Spaghetti, don't tear my head off here, Spaghetti. But for those odds, 24-1 odds, I don't think it's a bad deal there.
But so you're forgetting your team, the Dallas Cowboys.
What?
Week one, obviously. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, week two. Chargers, week three. Primetime game versus the Eagles.
What happens week five against the Giants? What happens week five?
That's another loss. It's another loss for the Cowboys. So I think the Cowboys are going to struggle to find a win probably in the 2021 calendar year.
We're going
to
at least beat the Giants week five in Dallas. Come on.
Oh, please let them both be winless when they play. Would that be grand?
It really could happen. Come on. I'd rather have 4-0. All right.
Spaghetti, you know what I love about football season now that it's here? After a summer, as I always say, I at least talk myself into every team having a shot this side of the Texans, at least, of making the playoffs. Now people are digging their heels in, and it's a personal offense if you say boo about somebody's favorite football team or favorite football players. And Eddie Spaghetti asserted yesterday on -3 that he's tired of the Giants' hate. Everybody hates the Giants. Hates the Giants. I think it's more of a Don Draper in the elevator to the junior sales guy. Like, we don't think about you at all. You're not relevant, right. Giants. Well, right? Is that? Am I misreading this? Nobody has any emotion about the Giants. They haven't done. If anything, we like them in the 21st century because it would be that much worse. Tom Brady would have two extra rings, and the Belichick dynasty would be even grander than it already is without Eli.
I will say it's. In Spaghetti's defense, what we do is stupid. Play ball already. Like your kids say, there's one more sleep. How much can we talk about this thing that hasn't happened yet? Now football, I'll talk about football all year, but basically starting in March when the over-unders come out, the team over-under, then it gets serious about who you're locked into, who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. Then you realize, okay, this is all nonsensical because they haven't even taken the field. It's now 6 months, maybe more, in the making. Let's see some games.
I agree, but I do think because it's a 365-day-a-year conversation.
Yeah.
You're right. There are too many days without actual football strung together too. So you get in your brain, it's hard to accept. And the way the 21st century news cycle works beyond sports, you see something one day and you move on. And so reality, the truth slips away because you get distracted by the shiny keys of the one QB who's hosting Jeopardy and the other guy who's in legal trouble over there. And is that
it's
guy
too many
get
opinions
traded?
Also, it's too many.
That's
opinions. I'm not saying
right.
You should listen to ours, but it used to be where Jimmy the Greek, just some, fat drunk. Like, oh, OK, he thinks that. All right. Well, who might argue with him? But now it's,
you're right.
That was dumb, too. But now it's gone the other way.
But. So the simple truth is that the Chiefs and the Buccaneers are definitely on the short list of contenders to win the Lombardi Trophy, but it doesn't tend to break that way. We never have teams go back-to-back in the NFL, right. Or we haven't in, 17 years?
Sure.
So the idea it's unimaginative and lame to go with the Bucs to repeat, except that they haven't done it. So in a way, that is a little bit of a bold prediction there.
Having all the starters back and all the coordinators back and everything else helps, right?
When you give us coaches, a simple truth, Sal. I want a simple truth from you. What's definitely true? Like, ignore all the jive. This is definitely the case. The Texans stink.
Texans stink. And you just have to go by a team that looks like they've given up, right? When a team quits on their coach in week 9, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. But I don't want to say they're quitters, but my God, the tone of the way this team is going, it doesn't seem like they're even going to have a shot out of the gate. But that's one of the games I'm most interested in. Unless the Jaguars go up 17-3, it's like, all right, now it's going to be too much Trevor Lawrence love, and there's too much. This is interesting. I did talk to this Simmons about this. Which game do you think will yield the biggest overreaction? I'm going to say it's New England-Miami. Mac Jones is going to the Hall of Fame and Tua's done, or the other way around. I kind of think...
I love it. I'm excited about our team this year. Our team's going to surprise a lot of people.
I hate it. I was on the Patriots, and you were, I think, two months ago, and now it's like, oh, can I get off this bandwagon?
I'm unclear, though. Are Patriot when Patriots fans say, our team, are they talking about the one in Tampa or the one in Foxborough? Yeah. They don't get to have both. They don't get to cheer both on.
For 1 week. They're definitely going to have to decide week four, right? Week four or week five? That's when they play each other.
Well, as far as that goes, I don't know if it's an overreaction or not, but one of those simple truths is Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, and he's going to be great this season, even if the offensive line isn't good. They've collected some nice pieces, even without Travis Etienne as an X factor in that offense with what we assume Herb Meyer wanted to do with him. But I think that the defense isn't great there, so I think he sets up to be the rookie of the year. I've been going Justin Fields this whole time, but suddenly the epiphany is Trevor Lawrence is gonna put up big statistical, gaudy rookie stats that you see some of those guys. The situation side, he's got good skill guys around him.
Trevor Lawrence 4-1 to win offensive rookie of the year on FanDuel Sportsbook. Hit it up at FanDuel.com/. Extra points, and Mac Jones right behind him plus 450. Yeah,
I don't like when people lean on, and obviously that suits me in 2021 with the Steelers having the toughest schedule in the league, to say I don't really care that much about toughest schedule, because it's a rear view mirror activity. We don't know what these, who knows what's going to be by Thanksgiving, who's still even playing on these teams, who's hurt and all of that. So I don't get too bogged down with that. But I will say, you're ignoring reality to go back to it. There's a real chance for the Chiefs. It's going to be a story. Hear me now. Put this one and bury
you're
it.
So we'll dig down it up on the Chiefs this year. God.
Dig this one up come mid-October, maybe around Halloween. We can take it out and see if I'm right about this. Well, that's a good thing. Why don't we dig them and dig these out mid-season and see what we're right about.
Right.
What's it called when you do that? When you put a thing
in. Time capsule.
Time capsule. Let's time capsule a couple of things and see how crazy we sound by mid-season. What do you say?
Why don't we just have Meatballs make a graphic and we'll put it up there and we'll try to find it on Twitter in three months.
We could do that. I'm going with this one, though. That the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in some peril. Not in terms of their ability to make the playoffs and be dangerous and everything else, but that will be the conversation. We'll be talking about, like, what's going on with the Chiefs, ignoring that they just had a gauntlet to start the season. The schedule makers did them no favors this year.
No, I know. Well, AFC, start with the Browns. Browns looking for revenge. You can bet all the action on FanDuel. Yes, NFL back. FanDuel Sportsbook celebrating with 40-1 odds on any week one game. If you want it to be Jaguars, Texans, take a shot on that. That would be a funny one to put 40-1 odds on you for that. You could go with the Steelers. Bills, that's a fun one. I guess you could do tomorrow night's game with Bucks and Cowboys. Lots and lots of opportunities.
I think,
here.
You know what, to think globally and act locally, to answer the question you just posed, I'll say that the Steelers Bills is a good candidate for overreaction, because the Bills have all these young pass rushers now that they brought in to address their Achilles heel. And I think they're going to really come out with their heads on fire. And the Steelers, as you may have heard, have some young pieces on their offensive line. I could see that combo not working out for the Steelers in terms of their pass game and being like, the Bills are world beaters and the Steelers suck. I think that is a very strong possibility.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one for sure. Anyway, FanDuel, though, bet them all, bet all the games, especially if you're getting 40-1 odds. When you place your first wager on any team to win, FanDuel is sports betting made simple. The app is easy to use. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Yes, like I said, easy to use, safe and secure, fast payouts. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. They're always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. Sign up with promo code Extra Points, and you can win $200 on a $5 bet. That's promo code Extra Points exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's an interesting way to teach young people how to gamble. It's like, yeah, I got 40-1 odds on basically a coin toss match. Rest in peace, Kevin Hench. Coin toss. Yes, there you go. FanDuel.com/extra points. All right, let's do it. This number has jumped to 8.5 now. At some point when it gets like 13 or 14, I'm going to have to say, I think my Cowboys have a shot. But obviously, Zach Martin out. Offensive line's going to have issues. Protecting Dak Prescott. We had a marvelous preseason. You saw it on Hard Knocks. I actually wasn't able to see Hard Knocks last night. But I imagine he didn't play. He didn't get roughed up at all.
He's super charming with the teammate's little boy. That's the big takeaway from the finale of Hard Knocks.
Boy,
he's a charismatic fella, and he's now the signal caller for your cool cats.
Yeah, that's your guy. Cowboys on the road. 8.5 is the number. 51.5. Go ahead, Shaq. You take it away. Pick a winner here.
I mean, history suggests, that, and I'm not going to go against it, that the home team, which is the defending Super Bowl champion almost every single time they play these season opening games, they tend to win. They tend to win big. I think the Cowboys set up as an interesting proposition, except for the fact that their offensive line is down. So that's not the team you want to go against. I do predict Vita Vea with a big year. Watch that breakout. Listen, celebration and all that for Tom Brady and company. I think it'll be good times for the Buccaneers fans. Double digit win for Tampa.
Defending Super Bowl champs the last 16 season kickoff games, 13-3. 9-4-3 against the spread, average margin of victory 9.8, which is just slightly above what the spread is here. So it makes all the sense in the world. I'm not feeling as bad about this. I talked about this on Against All Odds. Like, this is usually week one check. This is at MetLife Stadium, right? Spaghetti, we're freaking out. You lose a division game. The other team, your rivals, one up on you. I don't feel that way with this, but they have to play the Bucks. Might as well be week one. When we're not up to snuff here. And so in that regard, I'm not freaking out about the 2021 NFC.
If you can just get that offensive line healthy, which you will, because it seems like it's a short-term blip that these guys are having to sit. I think that I'm a believer in the Cowboys in a pretty soft NFC. I like their chances to be at least in the divisional round. I think that they will take the NFC East. All due respect to Spaghetti and the Washington as well. Didn't your guy Romo? Romo is one of the few who pulled the upset, right? The Cowboys beat somebody in their season opener. One of the few.
Now I can't remember. But that does sound right.
I remember Alex Smith and the Chiefs going into Foxborough and whipping the Patriots, which was an anomaly too, that they would lose that game. But yes, for the most part, home team tends to win that one and win big, like we said.
For sure. Now, people ask me, what's your survivor pick this week? Would this be your survivor pick? You don't have really the Jags or Texans to pick on here because they're playing each other and you're silly to jump on them. I mean, you're going to have many more opportunities to bet against those teams with higher numbers down the road. So that said, you have this game. The Bucks, this is a survivor pool we're talking about if you just need to advance. Bucks over the Cowboys, do you do? I'm trying to think of the other bigger spreads, the 49ers over the Lions, 49ers on the road. Or do you do the Rams over the Bears Sunday night?
I like the Rams. I'm looking at the Rams here.
That's what you would do.
Yeah. And, of course, the strategy has to be, can you hold back a little something? Can you hold back on the best team? I am terrible, by the way, at survivor pools. The first one I ever did in 1996, I won a few thousand dollars. And since then, I'm out of them by week three, usually. I don't know what it is with these things.
I'm really bad in these two.
So good. So let's counsel everybody on what they need to do here.
Our friend Randy, by the way, made it to, and it was a crazy thing. It really would have changed his life. Like, life-changing money had he won this thing. And he made it to Eagles Cowboys. I think that was week 16 when they played 17 weeks. Eagles Cowboys. He was one of like 11 people left in this gigantic pool, and he had the Eagles, and Hurts got off to a big lead, and then the Cowboys beat him up after that. And I don't know that he's recovered.
Did he have any passionate thoughts about it?
Yeah, he let us know about him for about 4 hours yesterday. Good Lord. We learned about every single TV show he's watched in the last year and a half yesterday. We got a recap. Yeah,
got unsolicited reviews of everything.
That's good.
Everybody weighing in on everybody's
unsolicited
various
my
projects.
Ass. Everybody wanted to hear about them. the Washington football team. Have you seen
How about,
the
you
games?
Know what? Here's one for you. The Carolina Panthers, Sal. They host the Jets. Sam Darnold, revenge. Oh. I think that's a kind of
you
a fun one.
You could get
one.
A leg up on people there. That's only like a 4.5 point spread there. And you're not going to take Carolina again, probably.
And the
not
other bad. Thing that we don't know is these are professional athletes, but you saw some evidence from the college games this past weekend that the home crowd does imbue the players with a right. different level of pep in their step. So I talk about like overreaction to some games. The Raiders for 60 minutes can be dangerous for teams. And I know
they're
you like the Raiders.
They're going to win that game.
I know you're a little crazy with the Raiders. You got to settle down with this. You know, Mike Mayer.
Well, aren't you? I'm really excited to see what kind of crowd they get there, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, exactly. If that place is hopping and Baltimore rolls in and they have some questions, they have some banged up skill guys, they have a new look offensive line, I don't think it's a certainty. I think the Raiders are going to come out. Raring to go, obviously, in front of a home crowd on Monday Night Football. That does provide, for whatever reason, a little jump for the home team sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially after, 24 months away from it. This is the unveiling. This is it for the Raiders in their new, not just stadium, new state. So
it could go the other way. It's such a destination, right? So I don't know if you have a group of guys from Baltimore, they're going to make their annual trip out to Vegas when the team plays the Raiders. Then I don't know, you get enough groups and then all of a sudden you're staring at Ravens jerseys. But I don't think so. I think the black hole represents big time. That's not going to be your that wouldn't be your survivor pick, though, right?
No. I'll tell you what it is a potential overreaction. If the Raiders beat the Ravens, people will go, what does this mean? It won't mean anything in the long run on either side of things. Although, like I say, I'm a little down on the Ravens. Go under their 11 win total. This is exciting, Sal. I hadn't considered the flow of week one until we're talking right now. I didn't realize that the Sunday night game was Bears at Rams.
Yeah.
Why is that the game? Oh, for the new stadium. Yeah, they're better games than Bears at Rams.
I know. We want
that's your survivor.
That was a Sunday night game a couple of years ago, too, and it was ho-hum. But, yeah, I agree. Rams at home.
That was up there, though. Jared Goff got exposed as a toe-haired.
It was in
Chicago?
California
boy.
Yeah, it was in Chicago.
Yeah, it was cold, remember? And he just fell on his face, literally and figuratively.
Didn't they win that game? Your Monday night game. I thought they won. No. The Rams won a Sunday night game against the Bears.
The Bears beat the Rams when the Rams and Jared Goff, even in the midst of their 13-3 season, I think they got it handed to them up there in like early December, if I remember correctly.
Gotcha. All right. So much action. So much fun. Very much looking forward. I just got to get through this Cowboys game. I'll be fine. Now, Washington football team, they narrowed it down to 7 names, maybe 8. Well, I don't know if they're including it. Washington football team is one of the options, which, by the way, I think I'm okay with. I think I've gotten used to it.
Come on.
I know they could do better, but it's so funny. You could get used to anything. Here are the other options. The Washington Armada. I don't like it. Trying Jesus. Too hard.
Yes.
Washington Brigade. Same kind of shit. Right.
Terrible. End it in an S. We can't have the plague of singular team names. It's confusing grammatically. You want people talking about the Washington Brigade is good? Mm-hmm. No, they are good. It's a whole bunch. Dozens of guys playing. It's not one thing. Come on. Yep.
Washington Stupid. Commanders.
Okay. Uninspired.
Not that great. It's a nod to the Handmaid's Tale, I guess. It's pretty good. Washington Defenders. Too video game-ish, I think.
Yes.
I don't like it.
I agree.
All right, so now they had to
run. And also a slap in the face of, anybody, any free agent who wants to go there and play on the offensive side of the ball.
That's true.
That's not for me. Why would I go there?
Actually, yeah. Name it defenders this year. I mean, I don't think they scored over 30 points last year. Everyone only talks about their defense all the time.
How about this? The offensive defenders.
Not bad. Not too bad. How about
better than the offenders? Because then that would, you know.
Right. Well, although that would make more sense with the current climate there.
Yeah, right. True.
The Washington Saquon Bradleys. No, that's not right. Well, so then they tried a couple options with red in there because they had to get rid of Redskins. The Red Wolves and the Red Hawks. I don't like either of those. I also think you get into trouble.
Mac team. That's a Mac. That's a name for Mac team.
Cheap. It's not
for
the, seems on. Cheap. And also, I think, how much are they vetting these? How many years before you find out that the Red Wolves, no, that was a gang that, you know, raped and pillaged the community and the, you know, in Canada and the Canadians are up in arms. Like, I think just stay away from red everything. And I don't know, a lot of these. Here's my favorite.
It is funny that we're all right with Pirates and Buccaneers and Raiders and everything.
I guess so.
What their deeds were and Vikings. What the hell are we supporting here as football fans?
It is interesting. I'd like to see the number of kills for each nickname. Right? All-time kills.
I've advocated with your pal Adam Carolla that fencing would go through the roof in terms of ratings if every nation's representative dressed like their chief swordsman. You know, like if you had, you know, if you had like an Englishman, like, and he was like a dandy with one of those feathered chapeaus and a twisty mustache and all that a cavalier might use in a sword fight versus a guy dressed up like a samurai, or, you know, like all that would, I think it would be a lot more
fun. That's true. A little more, you know? That's sporty. Yeah, I like that. So now that leaves one. I guess it's my favorite of all of them. The Washington Presidents.
You like this one, huh? Well, talk about groups that you may not exactly want to throw your full support
behind.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah,
people might look back in history and say that this is the president.
Is the logo whoever the current president is? Because that would be a neat little fringe benefit to becoming the, you know,
the Washington Commander-in-Chief. It's just dumb enough to work. Speaking of Commander-in-Chief, I want to jump into Donald Trump and Donald Jr. will provide commentary on Holyfield-Belfort fight this Saturday night. An embarrassing fight, and DJ TJ and the old man are going to be doing a play-by-play on the 20th anniversary of the worst day in American history. Now, I wonder, does anyone say that, hey, it's 9/11, this is 20 years ago, does anyone even approach him? Does he even think about it for a second, or does nothing matter?
I think you should flip it the other way. Yeah. Why would they be doing this? Why would they? Not since Jimmy Johnson did the wiener extending ad has there been such a disgraceful, apparently unnecessary thing. You're that hard up, are you, that you got to go? You got to go do that. You got to go give boxing.
He's hard up for a platform, a big platform, and Trillist has come calling. They've solved everything here.
All right. Well. So be it. Muzzle tough.
I won't be watching.
You won't be. All right.
No. Let's switch to this is Saturday night. Let's switch to
what
baseball.
President would you like to hear do any? I mean, it doesn't have to be boxing. Is there a president in American history you'd love to get their thoughts on what's going down on the gridiron or
interesting
sheet of ice or otherwise?
I mean, I think Lincoln could provide some actual practical commentary. He was a wrestler, you know, he could mix it up and everything. So I think he was no stranger to the combat sports. I don't know. I hadn't even thought.
Yeah. Who are you? I hadn't thought it through myself. I think JFK up there calling a Patriots game might be fun to check out. Yeah.
Ron but if Rayden. they have to take their sons too, like Lincoln's son was an unbearable jerk. Oh my God, was he the worst? Don't want to hear him talk. Go on and on for an hour. Ronald Reagan's good. Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah. I hope Barron makes the scene too. He could be the third leg in the booth.
Yeah, three generations. Although no, I guess that's two generations. He's got a son 50 years older. All right, pick of the day, Shaq. Let's do it. FanDuel.com/extra points. I'm stealing Brother Bry's pick here. Baseball, we're coming down to the nitty gritty. ExtraPoints.com. You could see a lot of free picks. You could see video form. They're in print if you like to read. But I'm stealing Brother Bry's pick. Blue Jays +102. The Yankees cannot hit. They have one extra base hit in 21 innings. And they won't hit until Friday when they visit the Mets in Flushing. That's it. The Mets are four out. They'll be four out on Friday. And then, oh my God, those Yankees bats will awaken. Spaghetti, bet them. Bet the over Yankees runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You'll at worst go 2 for 3. The Mets will be 7 out come Monday morning. But as for today, they will continue to be lethargic in the hitting department. Blue Jays plus 102.
I kind of hope the Blue Jays don't stay red hot, but I hope they do get one of the wild cards, because I do think Chris
that's
Sale.
Not gonna work. They're going to have to. They're going to have two and a half games.
They're not that far back. What do they have? About 22 games left in the race for the AL wild card spots. I kind of feel like Chris Sale, Gerrit Cole, we've talked about it. That would be juicy and captivating and all of it. And I feel like baseball needs to be delivered a hard message by the sports gods that wild cards in baseball are stupid. And we can't reward baseball for their dumb, short-sighted decision to try and get fans back in the stands after the strike and all of that. They created the wild card to add some intrigue and interleague play and all this jive. Let's go back. Have some dignity, baseball. Get rid of this stupidity. But instead, we're probably going to wind up with Red Sox Yankees, and everybody will watch, and we'll just keep on having to deal with a wild card, which doesn't reward merit. And baseball, more than any other sport, Sal, has the closest separation between the really good and the really bad. And so
it's better, though. It's better than it's been, though. The way the one game and you're out is better. It's a better option.
I guess instead
the
of having this
is vastly is better. I'm sorry. SEC is better than most conferences. They should get a second bite at the apple. AL East is better than most divisions. They get an extra team or two in there.
Well, don't start with, by the way, side note again, I'm -3. I do some good belly aching about the preseason polls. Who else does this preseason poll nonsense? Clemson loses. We have limited evidence on these teams in 2021, these college football teams. Clemson plays another college football team, and they lose that game. That's the only 60 minutes of evidence we have on this team, and they're still the 6th-rated team in the country. They're better than everybody else who won their games. What are we doing then? What are we doing if we allow self-validation to win the day? And
well,
that's exactly what it is. Like, well,
losing.
Clemson, but George is good. Well, so what? Then let them win, and then they will elevate back up in the standings. In the meantime, they lost a head-to-head game. If you're UCLA, you got to be sick in your balls. Like, what do we have to do? We are 2-0. We beat LSU. What more can we do?
I know.
We're still behind Clemson?
It goes so crazy for week 2. It's okay. It'll all work out. Clemson can't keep losing and be top 6, so that'll sort itself out. If they're 10-1 and UCLA is 10-1, Clemson will probably be higher because of the preseason poll. It's just how it's going to go. And by the way, you
it's
loved
unjust
when
you
were
know.
Growing. Yeah, but when you were growing up, we had even less to go off of because we didn't have the playoffs. And usually you romanticize, oh, we always woke up on New Year's Day and knew who the champ was. Like, do you know how lucky you have to get to have that result where two teams are playing in the biggest bowl and they're either both undefeated or both the only teams with one loss and both had similarly difficult schedules? Like, no. Yeah,
it always worked out, though. It always worked out the same amount of time as it works out now. There's the same level of disagreements and anger and everything else about who should have been there, who shouldn't have.
Alabama's going to win the whole thing. We should jump on that. But there should be no disagreement. They're under 2-1 now. It's plus 180. Just
you sure about that?
Trucking everybody.
Well, what matters then?
I'm sure
the excuse on Clemson though is well Georgia, but look how good Georgia is. That's why. Okay. Well, then are we sure that Georgia's so good? Because then we can't hand the national title to Bama so long as Georgia's in that conference. What are we doing? Is either Clemson lost to a juggernaut and doesn't get hit that hard?
It's early.
Listen, I'm standing up for the UCLA.
Look, I screwed up here by asking you what your pick of the day is. So let's talk about Alabama in January.
All right, I'll give you one. You want one? I'll give you your precious baseball. All right. Okay. I'll give you Adam Wainwright on the hump at home against the L.A. Dodgers. The Dodgers obviously making their charge. They're looking up at the Giants at the time of this recording, but they will ultimately overtake San Francisco and pretty much lock down the National League come playoff time. In the meantime, though, Adam Wainwright having a marvelous season after a couple of down years by his own standard. He's been one of the better pitchers for a long stretch. He is so again in 2021. 1. Take them on the money line, plus 106 against a spot starter for the Dodgers. St. Louis Cardinals, get it, behind Adam Wainwright.
I like it. Hold on, let me shut this here. I'm looking at these schedules here. Okay, so four against, they got two more against St.
Louis. Well, I mean, we already did the math of like how many times do the Yankees catch the Orioles the rest of the way, and then the Orioles.
They suck against you. They're like 9-7 against the Orioles. How did this happen? I mean, that's what's going to be remembered from this season if they blow it in the one game playoff. The Dodgers have, I'm sorry, I'm way behind here. The Dodgers, boy, they play a lot of games in baseball. They have St. Louis a couple more times, San Diego three more times, Arizona three, at Cincinnati, who's also fighting for the wild card, at Colorado, at Arizona. Yeah, they have San Diego a bunch of times. It might not be easy. I don't know. I've always said, they're going to look up, the Dodgers are going to be up seven games at the end of September, but maybe not the case. Maybe Schwartz's team has a shot here.
Well, like I keep saying, if you're a National League contender, not named the Dodgers, what you want is the Dodgers playing that nine innings with their season on the line, because sure, that's the best shot you're going to have at taking them down. You don't want them getting into a best of seven series with the rotation that they're going to throw at you. So, yes, you must see that. And in the meantime, when you talk about tough head-to-heads, Iowa hammered a ranked Indiana team. They don't go ahead of Clemson. What are we doing? What are we even assessing here then? Dumb wins and losses against ranked teams matter? Because if they do, Iowa has to go ahead of Clemson, obviously.
Yeah. It's all right. You're Indiana out of the top 25. You okay with that?
Listen, we all pine for a return to normalcy. And Indiana getting whipped by a Big Ten foe, that's what I call normal.
We're back.
We're getting close to back here, so yeah.
Well, Donald Trump and Don Jr. are calling their games the rest of the year. That's a punishment, so not going to be fun. All right, return to normalcy. What do you think, Babyface Solomon? Anything jump out at you today in the last hour?
I mean, I'm just glad that you are still in the league, thank God.
Me too.
You know, you really should just give Dave the franchise tag like the Steelers should give TJ Watt. Dave, you deserve the franchise tag. Our good point, really, the Houston Texans being the last team to win. It's kind of like last year, how the Jags beat the Colts and then lost 15 in a row. I mean, that's their best chance to win week one. The bad point, I'm going off the board here and giving it to the Washington football team. Those names are terrible. I mean, even Bishop Sycamore, they came up with a better team name. They're not even a real football team. I mean, those nicknames are so lame, they look like they're a fantasy league on CBS Sportsline.
You know, Daniel Snyder's obviously upset with this whole thing, that he's been tasked to come up with a new name, and it was kind of an FU to just name them the football team. Like, all right, really? This is what you want? We're going to call them the football team for a year. It's like, all right. Maybe the Bishop Sycamores is a good name for the Washington football team.
Ooh, I like that.
An S.
I don't know why teams don't embrace their own history. I know they want to, tip their hat to the region and all that, but for real, like the Hogs is so that was a glorious era for Washington Pro. People went crazy for that. The Hogs seem so obvious to me. I don't know why.
And the fans are dressing like Hogs. It's fun. Like, yeah.
Right. Or if you want to look forward instead of looking back, name it after the prized free agent that you know is going to be out on the market this next spring. And that's what better way to attract him? Like, who's going to be the big name quarterback? Russell Wilson? There you go. The Washington Russells. Then now he's on his way. Now he's listening. You know, the Washington Unlimiteds. Now all of a sudden Russell Wilson's got his ear looking to D.C.
Right. Right.
You could change it. What rule is that? You can't just keep changing it. Whatever free agent you want.
I guess you can. The problem is if you name it the Deshaun Watsons, and then like, oh boy, we have to now change this in a matter of 3 days. What are you going to do? Yeah, listen to -3 on Thursday. I think it's either going to be a 3-hour-long podcast or 3 minutes. I don't know. Wow. Is Hench going to want to discuss this? Is Hench going to show up? So much to talk about here.
Well, I'm looking forward to Sal being the mediator there. He always does his best work in that situation. So.
Yeah, I'm no nonsense. I'll just get right in there. Against all odds, yes, against all odds, we record tonight. It'll be up tomorrow. We'll preview that Cowboys-Bucks game and the weekend Not a great college slate, by the way. Oregon, Ohio State, the 2-touchdown spread already.
Give us your two picks here, Sal, or do you have to withhold them so Harry can hear what you think about Iowa v. Iowa State? At least give us your Oregon, Ohio State pick.
Oh, you know,
those are the two big games of the weekend.
Yeah, right. You know what? I'm going to take Oregon. Everyone's counting them out right now. Ohio State struggled a little bit last week. I think if Ibrahim doesn't get injured, that's a closer game.
I agree with you. People forgetting what happened. Right. Everybody is talking about like Oregon struggled. Yeah. You know who else did? The Buckeyes.
Right. 14.5 is too much too early in the season. So that's that. Check that out.
I like it.
-3 against all odds. We've got a lot more podcast action coming up. Go to extrapoints.com for free picks every day. Just a reminder out there, even though you may feel like underdogs, please remember you're all my favorites.